It's the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm, episode number 55. I am Mike Grimm, voice of the Golden Gophers, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm excited to welcome to the podcast for the first time Gopher men's basketball player Parker Fox. Parker's working through a second major knee injury, and we'll hear from him about that and a whole lot more. Parker also has his own podcast, and we'll preview that and talk about what it's all about and why he's decided to host such a podcast. As always, our Go Gopher Podcast is presented by alumni-owned Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're a business founder planning to exit your business, start by contacting Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. Sunbelt serves more businesses up to $5 million in revenue than anyone, and True North M&A serves companies with revenues up to $150 million. Get a confidential, no-cost, no-obligation business valuation started today. Make the most of your life's work. Visit SunbeltMinnesota.com or TNMA.com today. The Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm is also partnered with Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Like the Gophers, Affinity Plus is fundamentally sound with preparation, focus, and follow-through. Affinity Plus is a local Minnesota credit union providing all of your banking needs, including a top-ranked mobile app. And talk about community involvement, they've got it. Great work with Special Olympics Minnesota as a big booster of the annual Polar Plunge, which is coming up. Log on to AffinityPlus.org/GoGophers for more info on the many great services they provide. Our podcast is also sponsored by State Farm agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. Tony is a big-time Gopher fan. And we're podcasting from the Aquarius Home Services studio for episode 55. I invite you to subscribe to our podcast. It's free to click the subscribe button. You can listen for free at any time. You can also go back and listen to previous podcasts. That includes last week's show, which has been great. We got great feedback from it. Brand new Gopher volleyball coach Keegan Cook. I invite you to go back and listen. He was great. This week, we're talking Golden Gopher basketball on the Go Gopher Podcast episode number 55. My conversation with Gopher player Parker Fox is next.
I'm Clay Geary, walk-on turn scholarship wide receiver for Gopher football.
And I'm Ben Utek, U of M alumni, Super Bowl champion, and Tony Dungy Uncommon Award winner. We understand championship culture, which is why we're part of the True North family of companies.
True North invests in only elite teams, like the champion team at Sunbelt Business Advisors. With more brokers, buyers, and offers, Sunbelt gets owners 15% more than the market average.
Learn more about this True North company at SunbeltMinnesota.com.
Hi Gopher fans, this is your State Farm agent Tony Hoagland. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889 a year. My agency is ready to help you combine home and auto and start saving today. Call 763-421-4900 to start saving. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It is episode number 55. My pleasure to welcome to our podcast for the very first time Golden Gopher basketball player Parker Fox. Good to see you, sir.
Mike, appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah, this is awesome. Now, we at some point here before we get done, we'll talk about the great podcast you also have going called Double Down, and we want people to definitely listen to that. And it's a really cool concept as well. And you have a marquee guest this week that will help promote, and we'll tease that. So later on, we may want to make sure people listen all the way through because we're going to preview that. But as we record this, this is Thursday midday, the day after Minnesota and Indiana played a really entertaining game at Williams Arena. The Gophers a little shorthanded, more injuries. You think about you and Isaiah who haven't played at all, and then you throw in Dawson's injury, you throw in Braden's injury, and then Pharrell's injury, and it's seven guys last night, and they gave Indiana, who came in red hot, everything they wanted. And I asked Ben Johnson this in the post-game interview. The first question I asked him, because the juxtaposition of emotions where if you're the coach or you're a teammate or even a fan or a broadcaster or whatever, you got to have a sense of pride with what how that team played, with the grittiness. I mean, that's been kind of Ben's calling card in terms of trying to get the identity at being a tough, hard-nosed team. But then juxtapose that with the emotion of you had the game there for your taking, up three with 3 minutes to go, and you lose. So as a teammate of those guys, and you're an emotional leader too, you're up there waving the towel. And I think when Trayton dunked, you were the most excited guy in the arena late in that game. How as a teammate when you have your brothers in sports, so to speak, go through that and almost have it and almost pull off a great upset against a really good team, but you probably have some pride in how your guys played.
Yeah, you know, it was weird. I told Kelly Pfeiffer, the ref, I was like, have you ever been a part of something like this? Have you ever watched, like, we were all in these, we just got these brand new maroon jumpsuits, and it was me, Zay, Daw, Braden, Caden didn't even dress, Pharrell, we were just standing there. I was like, have you ever even seen anything like this? And he was like, honestly, no. Like, I've seen people foul out, and I've seen overtime games, but I've never seen, like, six guys come up in sweatsuits and, you know, key members of our team, yes, as well, you know? So, but at the end of the day, we just preached, and I just tried to preach to the guys because I'm the one that kind of leads the huddles and stuff down the locker room, and just preached to them, like, hey, we are all we need at the end of the day. Like, there's a reason you're here. And now you have a chance to go out on the court and show 10,000 people why you're here. And it's just, we talk about opportunities all the time in our program, and having an opportunity to play a team like Indiana, you know, nobody expects us to go into that game and win. Like, but we did. Like, Ben preached, like, hey, expect to win this basketball game. Like, expect to win. He kept saying expect to win. And I think he just kind of convinced us that we have enough, and we were powerful enough to do what we needed to do. And I was just excited for my guys, you know, a guy like Trey, who has had opportunities here and there, and, you know, has an opportunity in this Indiana game to step up. And he made some great plays for us. You know, a guy like Will Ramberg coming in, getting a couple back cuts. He had a crazy wizardry play over JMO. I actually tweeted about that one. That was crazy.
He was about ready to choke JMO, yeah, to get that rebound, and then somehow work this Houdini act to, yeah, get the ball up. That and was make the shot.
One of the craziest things I've, yeah, seen. And we were watching the game back last night, and JMO was like, "Well, I saw Will put his arm around me, so I just tried to stay still and let him go around me." And I was like, "Well, that would have worked out because Will made the bucket." But
it's like a trick shot,
exactly. Yeah. No, and I think at the end of the day, it's all about your attitude when you bring it up to the court. And you know, anybody could have, just collapsed and just been like, hey, it's not our night. Let's move on to the next one. But that's just not who we are. And that's just not the kind of kids that, you know, Coach Johnson recruits. So I think it's just a kind of a testament to what we're trying to do as a program and the guys that we have in our locker room. And I was just proud of our guys because that energy is a standard. And that's the first thing I told the guys after the game. The locker room was a little quiet. And I just came in there, I was the last one in there, and I was just like, hey, that energy has to be our standard. And now we know from here on out that what level we can play at. You know, you saw the hustle plays, yeah, you know, Taurus and Talon and Jade and all the guys, you know, everybody's jumping on the floor, dying for loose, yeah, balls. And like, that has to be what we're about at the end of the day. And that's the way we can, you know, continue to move forward and hopefully pick up some wins.
Yeah, and I thought at Ohio State, there was more maybe of that energy. And it's not that in other games there's less energy or less hustle, but sometimes just how a game unfolds. Yeah. Like last night, I think sometimes guys will, that grittiness or that toughness when they know that there's more to have to be done than maybe on a normal night. All of a sudden, you can draw something out of yourself or as a team. And I thought for the season, that was the best toughness that this group has displayed. And other games maybe where it wasn't as tough, I'm not trying to say, well, they were dogging it or it was malicious. But when you got a young team especially, mm-hmm, it's a learning. I mean, I think times guys play, well, I'm playing hard. Last night, I think they learned, oh, this is what hard is, yeah, all about, right?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And I think, like you said, young guys, obviously coming from, we have four guys coming from high school, and it's a different level, and you don't know the level that you have to play at until you're kind of in it, you know? Yeah. Like, it's such a unique thing. It's basketball such a weird way. And with that, it's like, if you can think you're playing hard, but then there's another level that you don't even know that you can take.
Right.
Like we preach it all the time with our preseason conditioning is like, take your mind off of yourself and put it on somebody else. And until you're able to do that, you never know how really hard or how much effort you can put into, you know, a game or a play or a set or whatever it is. And, you know, we talk a lot about the details of things. You know, we know that, you know, last night we didn't have, you know, size to match up with Race and Trace down there. Yeah, but we're going to defensively scheme something up. We're going to have very detail-oriented. And if we feel that, we trust our coaching staff. And if we execute on those details, we can put ourselves in a ball game just like we did. And, yeah, you know, credit to our staff, too. They did a lot of just a phenomenal job. Coach Kemp, I think, was on the scout, and he did a great job, along with Coach Johnson, Thor, and Jenkins, and just like getting us ready for what was going to come our way, because we knew it wasn't an easy battle, and we were up for the test, and we were right there, and I think that's just it's positive, and we gotta roll with that kind of high a little bit.
Yeah, and sometimes too, when you have that adversity, you come up with a situation where you have no choice but to do something. Sometimes you maybe even stumble into a few things. Like maybe that zone now is something you guys can use in the future, because it was pretty effective last night. I thought, and there were some other times. Was it Chicago State late? Mm-hmm. I think that helped you guys switch to the zone. So maybe that's something. But there's also times where maybe last night, as we mentioned, those guys, those young guys especially, like, okay, now this is the effort, this is the intensity. Because I think there was a little difference. You look at last year's team with a bunch of 22 and 23-year-olds, there was never a doubt any night. There was always going to be toughness and that grittiness and that, you know, and that's just those guys knew because they'd been around the block.
Been through it,
And so maybe you see a difference too as a leader in terms of how you have to lead from last year to this year.
Yeah, and that's kind of been the biggest thing all year, you know, because obviously we are so excited about a guy like Pharrell. We're so excited about, you know, the skill of Jaden, shooting ability of Braden, the athleticism of Josh. Like, those intangibles are there, but now it's like, hey, what's this next step we're going to take? You know, we always talk about bridging the gap, right? We got, you know, a guy like Dawson Garcia, who's been around two high major, you know, very good programs. He's been around a lot of college basketball. Jameson Battle, been around a lot of college basketball. Torres Samuels, a lot of college basketball. Twan Cooper, you know, go down the list. We got, you know, five or six guys that have been around a lot, and then five or six guys that haven't, you know, and we're just trying to continue to bridge that gap. And I think that's kind of been our biggest thing. And I think it's done with leadership. I think it's done with showing up every day. You know, our older guys, we talk about you can't have a bad day. You know, you can have a bad moment, you can have a bad play, but when we are between the lines in a practice, you can't have a bad day, because the margin for error is too slim, you know, and you got to show up every day and you got to learn. And we're just continuing to learn and we're continuing to grow. And, you know, I'm excited about what direction we're going in, and I'm hoping everybody is as well. So
Trayton had 8 points, 8 rebounds, Trayton Thompson. And I know I watch you guys interact. You guys, I think you're a guy who looks to me like you've kind of taken Trayton under your wing a little bit. You were, even last night as he's coming off the floor, you're talking to him and offering some things. And he's been an interesting guy, because he started the year as a starter and then his minutes dwindled and then he got another chance last night. It reminded me a little of the Rutgers game last year when he scored his career high 10 and played all 40 minutes and given the chance, he put up some numbers. And of course he made a mistake, you know, made some mistakes, as they all, you know, everyone's going to make mistakes. You can't play 40 minutes without, you know, doing something. But man, what he gave, that tenaciousness, and he blocked some shots and he fought for some rebounds. He honestly didn't get much help from the officials. I thought there were some times where he got fouled and it wasn't called. And then two of his fouls were jokes of calls. And, you know, and it turns out he ends up fouling out. But I was encouraged with what I saw from number 42 last night.
Yeah, no, so was I. You know, I really actually like that officiating crew, John Brooks and Kelly. They're a pretty good crew, good interactions with the guys. But, you know, in a Big Ten game, there's going to be missed calls. We're all human, you know, and you kind of just got to roll with those. You know, that's part of the game. And I think Trayton kind of learned that, too. You know, it's something where he hasn't been in a lot of minutes roles yet. He hasn't played, what, he probably played 38 minutes last night. You know, he hasn't done that. I was just with him at lunch here. He was just talking about how exhausted he was and da-da-da. But no, you're right. You know, I think it's a credit to him too, being able to just listen and learn and run to coaching. You know, he anytime I ever say anything to him, he's most of the time he looks me in the face and he listens. You know, obviously sometimes when you're in the competitive heat of spirit, you know, you don't want to hear anything from anyone. But no, he's a dude that he does everything the right way. You know, he works his tail off. And, you know, you just want guys that work hard for, you know, things to pay off. So, and then being in my position, you know, obviously there's kind of two responses to injury. You can kind of pout and moan and make it about yourself, or you can kind of take a step back and put the program first. And that's what I think is most important. So anything I can do to help, I just try to be a part of. You know, I don't want to take over or, you know, coach something that the coaches are not. So I think I try to pay a lot of attention to what we're trying to coach and try to help him implement that from a different voice. You know, obviously when you hear it from coaches, you want to learn, you want to get better, but the approach from a peer can be a little kind of different tone of voice, sure, or a different attitude, or maybe I'm even a little harder on them, you know, compared to what the coaches are, or maybe the coaches said something and I see it the same way, but it's just a different kind of way to portray the message. And that's just kind of what I try to be about, just kind of bring that energy and get everybody excited and make sure the guys know, like, you know, you're here for a reason. Yeah. Like you're playing at the University of Minnesota because you're a good enough player. Now, you know, go show everybody why.
Yeah, and Trayton's got some skills. He can shoot, mm-hmm, although, you know, and you need to kind of get in that rhythm, but he's got a 7 foot and you don't teach that. So that is a good starting point,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But he can move, he can run. And last night I even mentioned on the radio a couple times that he, after, you know, these long stretches without any timeouts, I said, man, he is tired. And I didn't mean it. I hope people didn't take it to mean I thought I'm suggesting he's out of shape or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm saying he was pouring so much into that game. And when you go along back and forth and you've been playing 6 minutes a game or sometimes not even playing a game, as you know, game shape matters, and there's no other way. So I thought he poured everything he had into that game.
No, he did. He did. And we were even talking about in the training room this morning just about how obviously physical exhaustion, but mental exhaustion too. Like he was talking about he left the timeout just so tired that he just like forgot the exact play that coach ran up. And then somebody had to remind him it was just a simple pin down or something light, but just like the exhaustion, you could just tell he put everything into the game. And we all did, you know. I think, you know, if you watch that game and you see guys flying around the floor, like there's no, that's not, you don't just do that. You know, it's not just like, that's just not a given. You got to have the guys that want to do that. You guys that know, hey, I'm going to play 39, 40 minutes, but I'm still going to dive for that loose ball. I'm still going to make sure I close out. And, you know, we talk about the details like we did earlier. And it's, I think that's what it's about. And not every guy has that. And I think it's encouraging to see that the guys, most of the guys in our locker room have that. And for the older guys, especially teaching these younger guys, like, hey, that's what it's about. You know, Talon jumps on that loose ball. Jaden's right in front of it. Now Jaden sees, hey, my point guard is, you know, he's leading it out. He's a fifth year guy. I don't know. Talon's old for his grade, whatever he is. But, you know, he's laying on the court, you know, sacrificing his body. Next possession, I got to make sure I do it. And I think that's kind of the difference maker. You know, you got to have that leadership from your older guys. And it's got to trickle down to your younger guys. And at the end of the day, your younger guys have to see it and they have to, you know, put it into work. But, you know, setting that standard is important. We talk about that a lot in our program.
Yeah. And you think about in relative terms, how many learning points these freshmen have compared to even other freshmen in the league who aren't playing as much.
No, for sure.
And obviously the hope then is in a year or two years that all these learning points now pushes them ahead of other guys who are playing 4 minutes or not playing at all. Like even last night, Indiana's got a guy who last year was ranked 92nd in the country, high schooler. He didn't play.
Wow.
You know, and so, but that guy's not learning what these guys are learning right now.
No.
So, okay, he's 92 in the country, and I'm sure Indiana people are saying he's going to play, and maybe he was banged up a little bit, whatever. But that's how you can help kind of elevate a program is, you know, it's tough right now because you're living through some mistakes. So, obviously, that's kind of the hope. These learning points will eventually turn these guys into those grizzled veteran guys that can win Big Ten games.
Big Ten games. You see, you know, you say right there, it's this conference is a beast, you know, especially when it comes down to January, February, and you're playing 2-3 games a week, and you know, you lose one at Michigan, and you know, we thought we played pretty well there, but at the end of the day, you got to flush it and you got to move on to the next one.
Yeah.
You know? And it's so tough too, especially when you're a freshman. You want to come in, you want to contribute, you want to help, you want to obviously help your own team, but you want to, you know, help your future as well and that kind of stuff. And there's such a learning curve and a learning process that takes place. And you know, I'm still even learning through it as well. You know, I you know, I'm learning different things and how refs call the games and how, you know, you can get away with little things being physical and that you probably couldn't in high school. Maybe you get an extra half step that's not called a travel. And, you know, it's integrating yourself into a new game. And it's obviously basketball. You've been playing the game your whole life. You should never be scared or, you know, have to worry about playing the game because at the end of the day, it's just basketball. It's just a game. But, you know, learning these little nuances of how to kind of get away with something. And, you know, I think it takes time.
Yeah.
And the only really way to learn it is to play and to be a part of it. So I'm excited that, you know, these young guys have that opportunity, especially when we hopefully bring back, you know, a lot of healthy stuff towards the end of the season here and next year as well. So, yeah, it's definitely encouraging and it makes me excited for, you know, the future of the program for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, hang tight here for a second. Let me talk for a minute about Affinity Plus, your local credit union proudly serving Minnesota since 1930. If you're a current Gopher student or a proud Gopher alum, you're eligible to join a financial that wants to build a meaningful banking relationship and put you first. Meet meet with a local employee at any of their branches statewide, including right off campus in Minneapolis on University. To learn more or find other ways to connect, here's what you want to do. Go to affinityplus.org/gogophers. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. Parker Fox with us here on the Go Gopher podcast, and I want to talk about your future, but I also want to talk about your past, because it's become an identity, unfortunately, in a way, right, with back-to-back injuries. So take me back all the way to the first one, because you're so excited, right? You're a hometown guy coming back to the place that you cheered for, you know, this team to win when you were a young man, and now you have your chance, and then in one instant, right? What was that like, and did you know right away that it was a problem?
Yeah, so, you know, I was obviously wrapping up my career at Northern State University. I was graduating. Season was over. We just had lost a heartbreaking overtime game to the team that went on to win the national championship. Team that we felt that we were better than that day. They're a really good team, Northwest Missouri State. And so anyway, season ends. I'm in the transfer portal. I kind of have my list kind of cut down. At the end of the day, I knew kind of where I was going, just making sure everything was, you know, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, all that kind of deal. And I was just going through a workout at my buddy's got a facility out there. The court at campus was being used, so we were just getting through a workout out there, and we had ended up, you know, playing, running a little fives after the workout. And I kind of got it going a little bit, hit a couple threes, kind of was just kind of talking a little trash to my teammates, you know, just kind of the way I play, just friendly banter. And did a kind of sidestep move and pump fake, got my defender to lift, and then at that point it was over because it was just open lane to the rim, and went and threw down a dunk. And if anybody's seen me play, that's what I do best. It's high level athleticism, and I ended up landing and kind of rotating to run back on defense, and ended up landing and my knee kind of shift. And frankly, I didn't think much of it right away. The way I play is super high level, you know, high motor, making athletic plays, kind of just jumping all over the place.
Yeah, you got the ups.
Yeah, exactly. I just I'm the high energy kind of guy. I think that's, you know, with life and with, you know, sport. And I get bumps and bruises all the time. But I landed, and it was just a little funny. My leg was tingling, and I knew something was up. So coach took me to the training room, and felt fine walking to the training room. I was like, I'll be all right. Like, I was even testing. I was doing some hops on my leg. I was like, oh, I couldn't have torn something if I can jump and if I can, you know, stick and move to the side and doing my own little test that I think is going to help me. But get to the training table, and athletic trainer's like, yeah, I just don't have a end feel. You probably tore your ACL. You got to get imaging. And yeah, that was, I just remember breaking down and just putting a towel over my face. And I just worked so hard for it, you know, like, the amount of time and effort I put in, and I don't even need people to know about that kind of stuff. Like that's whatever. That's between me and my work. But I just knew how much I wanted it and how bad and how much it meant to me, and for it to be taken away like that. You know, I went to a pretty dark place because, you know, I didn't know if Coach Johnson would still want me. I don't know if, you know, a scholarship was still there. Why take, you know, I saw the tweets like, why take the Division II kid with a torn ACL? Yeah. Like, that doesn't make sense. Why would you want that as part of your program? So, you know, you go to a pretty dark place. But actually, I had a phone call with Coach Johnson, and he didn't even waver. And, you know, he was like, we want you. We need you here. We're going to get you healthy. We're going to get you back. And you're going to be an integral part of this, you know, this program. And, you know, Coach Thorson, he's calling me, and he's like, you know, your name's going to be on a brick outside of Williams Arena one day. And that gave me all the confidence I needed to come here and just work my tail off and get back. So didn't really know right away to answer your question. But once I kind of found out, I really just put my head down and started to work. You know, I knew that it's possible. You know, I'm a big Vikings fan. I saw Adrian Peterson come back from an ACL in 6 months and absolutely tear it up. So I was like watching AP highlights and like all this stuff, get myself motivated for surgery. But yeah, definitely a crazy time because I was being recruited as probably one of the, you know, best prospects in the country. And I had basically could pick where I wanted to go besides, you know, the Blue Bloods. And to go from that high to that low so fast was one of the toughest days or moments of my life. And but I think it's kind of built me into who I am, and it's kind of changed my outlook on sport, but on life in general. So I'm you know, it's funny, but I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, in a weird way, right? Yeah. And because, okay, so that happens in a snap of a finger, and then you get the news. And then it's like, okay, well, I want to play, but to get back now, it's a, you know, if not a year, 8 months of hard work. And I've interviewed enough guys who unfortunately have gone through similar injuries that there get to be some lonely times during that rehab too, right? And then while you're on the bench watching your team play, you're wishing you were out there. And so how did that for the first, I mean, and then, you know, then of course you get the double whammy, which then you have it happen again. But through that first year, kind of take me through how it went for you in terms of trying to stay positive, you know, those, some of those lonely days, I'm sure, in the training room and rehab, and then probably sitting there saying, God, I could be out there playing, you know,
It's interesting because, my two different processes couldn't have been more different. The first one, I was still like on my high about who I was as a player and, you know, who I was as a guy. And it was like every day I needed a basketball in my hands, right? So me and my dad would go just, you know, second day out of surgery, just shooting form shots in my driveway, sitting there just dribbling a ball in my left hand, dribbling a ball in my right hand, just wanting to be around basketball. I couldn't be more excited to get on campus, meet the guys, you know, see the facilities. Like, I still had this, like, you know, kind of like this fantasy, this kind of fairy tale of still what was happening regardless of my knee. But it was, you know, obviously you go to a dark place and it was tough on the bench. But for me, my attitude was just like, regardless of what's going on, I just got to get back to work. I got to go to work. I'm a big Jay Billis fan, and he always talks about going to work. I got to go to work. Got to go to work. And that's kind of just the mentality I had was, you know, I just got to go to work. Whatever kind of reps they give me, I'm going to do one more. You know, whatever kind of workout I got during the day, I'm going to make sure I do something more to, you know, and because I knew where I could get to. I knew I could get back to what I was. And, you know, I was obviously tough mentally, and there's some days that were tougher than others, but through that first one, I was just so excited to be a part of it and so excited to be around this program that kind of some of that stress and anxiety kind of just got taken away from where I was. And I was excited to be back home again. You know, I lived 5.5 hours from home for 4 years there and couldn't see my family as much as I wanted to. And being home and having them around me definitely really helped because I don't know if I could have made it through without their help. So.
And then the rehab was working to the point where there was some thought you might even play in some games late last year, right? And then that it just, you decided not at that, you know, it got to the point where it probably wasn't worth the risk. Yeah. So the rehab went great. You're feeling good. I'm watching you. And I remember being at Northwestern. I think that was the last regular season game of the year. And like, you're jumping up, like almost to touching the top of the backboard, and you're doing, I mean, you're almost going through some pregame workouts, if I remember, right? Like in the routine, you're going through, so you're close. Everything went well. And so now you're feeling great about this season.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And it was, you know, it was such a weird time because it was like, it sucks that I got hurt and it sucks that I can't be out there and I would do anything to go out there with, you know, my new guys. Like, I bonded with these guys so quick. You talk about, you know, Peyton Willis, Eric Curry become some of my best friends. And you just wanted to be out there with them, you know, Luke, EJ, Sean, Charlie, right down the line, like all those guys. And, you know, you want to be out there. But at the same time, I was like, you know, I'm going to still have a chance at this. Like, next year, you know, obviously JMO's probably going to be back. You know, we're going to bring in a great, you know, freshman class. Isaiah's going to be back. You know, once we got the news, Dawson was transferring.
Right.
Like, that was just so exciting. And I just felt great. Like, you know, numbers were back up pretty well. It was vert jumping past 40 inches again, you know, back in practice. I was probably in the best, strongest shape I had ever been in my life. You know, I was weighing like solid 230. I was just playing well. I really figured my jumper out. I was making a lot of shots and was just excited, man. Just like the energy in the gym was just so athletic and so positive and so excited. And I was just ready to go. Yeah.
And then the second one.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, it was just another day. You know, we got a lift in the morning, gone through a great warm up. You know, I'm a kind of guy that needs to get my body warmed up. I need to.
Well, you're getting old.
I'm going to be 24 here in a couple of days. I'm still hanging around this university. But I got my body ready. We went through probably a half hour of, you know, pre-practice stuff with Coach Thor, which we had, you know, do pretty much every day, getting shots up. And we had gotten to practice, did the first couple drills. And then it was time to do a transition drill. And I took the ball up the court. We're doing 3-on-2. If anybody knows the drill, classic transition drill. Defender had kind of pushed up on me, so I made the move around the defender. I had Isaiah cut into the hoop on my left. Could have bounced it to him. Or I had J-Mo spot open for three. We were down a couple points, so I was like, I'm going to take the three over the two. J-Mo's going to make that all day. So I kind of tried to suck the defender in with my left shoulder, and then I went to go pass the ball and step with my right. And then when I stepped with my right leg, I just felt it collapse, and I just felt it fell in, and it was the exact feeling of the first one.
Different leg, though?
Different leg, yeah. Because it was the left leg the first time, then this time it was the right leg, and it was the exact same feeling, and I knew right away. It's a feeling that you don't know until you kind of go through it, you know, and once you feel it, it's, you know, and it's like the same thing where it's like, if I feel that feeling again, like I couldn't imagine like what I would, my response to it, because it's the worst, like the feeling's whatever. It's not even that painful. Like from my experience, at least, you know,
but you know what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I didn't shed a tear because of the pain, you know, but, so yeah, I step and claps and my eyeballs just kind of like open wide up. And I look at Coach Johnson and kind of give him like a wide eye look, and he's like what, did you make a good pass? Or he said some sort of like little smirk or comment or something. And I was like, no, I tore my ACL. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean you tore your ACL? I just watched you pass the ball to J-Mo. You didn't do anything. I was like, I tore my ACL again. Ugh. Like, I knew right away. And, you know, Coach Kemp comes over, all the coaches are like, I'll be positive. Like, you know, everything's going to be okay. And, you know, went in the training table. And, like, before he even, like, did the test on me, I was like, I know it's torn. I know it's done. So I called my mom. And that was a tough one because, I just had felt so good about where I was at. You know, just worked so hard. Anybody that's gone through an ACL rehab knows that it's the worst, man. Like, you know, the physical is obviously horrible. You know, you lose. I couldn't walk for six weeks, so I had my knee was literally just like skin and bones. Like my quad had lost all definition. It was like I could literally like wrap my finger around like my femur bone, and it was just like brutal. But you know, the physical is obviously painful, but the mental is 10 times worse. And just knowing what I had gone through and knowing that I would have to go through it again and do it all over again was, it was devastating, because when I was going through rehab the first time, I had even told Ryan Dotson, our trainer, I was like, if I tore my ACL again, I'm done with basketball. Like, it's not for me anymore. I'll move on. You know, I'm an older guy. All my friends are getting jobs. Like, I'll just go
get your degree.
Yeah, I got a degree. I'm halfway done with the master's. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go, you know, live my life and figure it out. But right when I got hurt again, I was like, this can't be the end. Like, it's just, I have too much to give for it to be the end. And I remember Coach Johnson being in the training room with me, and he just gave me a hug, and I was like, I'm gonna play for you one day, Coach. I'm gonna play for you one day. And he kind of just laughed, and you know, it's funny little statement, but I mean it, because that was kind of my response to telling myself, like, hey, you can still do this. Like, mm-hmm. You're still capable of doing what you set out to do, you know, 12 months ago when you were in the portal being recruited by everybody. Like, you're not forgotten in that way. Like, you can't forget like what you did to get here. You know, you can't forget the countless hours that you spent out on the track and running stairs and the early mornings working out and, you know, just the little things that you put way too much in this game for it just to be done. So that's kind of the, you know, internal motivation that I needed to just be like, hey, let's schedule the surgery, let's get going, and let's get back to the rehab. And now I'm 7 months out, and it's been a crazy journey, but just trying to win every single day and win every single battle every single day, because anybody that goes through this, and I don't wish it upon my worst enemy, it's a war, and every day is a little battle. And if you can conquer each battle every single day, it's kind of just like baby steps. You know, you got to step your way, and you got to ignore what everybody else is saying, and you got to ignore people being like, hey, are you back yet? You know, da 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 da. And you just kind of got to ignore all that, and you got to go to your own place. And that's the only way to get through. And you got to have those people that are there for you. And I'm very grateful for my mom, my dad, and my brother, extended family as well. And, you know, my new family that I've built here is amazing, and I have more support than I could possibly imagine. And that's what kind of gets me through. But at the end of the day, I think it's about doing it for myself. You know, I think my career, you know, I've always kind of been a selfless guy in that way, and, you know, putting others first, and I was kind of raised that way. And like I said, the difference of you know, surgeries this time around, of you know, obviously to be a big part of the team, but when I'm doing my rehab, it's about me and it's about how I can get better and knowing that I have so much to give to basketball because basketball has given me so much that I want to give it back. And, you know, that's kind of what pushes me through every day.
Yeah. And I got a sense when you were talking about the first time through that the second time through has been mentally different, maybe. Yeah. How has that been different?
Yeah. It's just been, it's been a greater challenge, you know. I think the first time, like I said, basketball was at my forefront,
yeah,
you know, and then this time around my health was kind of at my forefront. You know, I was obviously, you know, with basketball in my hand, first time, let's rush, let's get back. You know, my attitude was like, I'm going to play this year, da, da, da. And this time around, it's kind of just been like, you know, you got to just win every battle every single day. Like I didn't see the big picture the first time around. I thought these little battles were the war versus this thing is a grind, man. Like, like I said, if you've been through it, if you've been through a major surgery, like it's a grind and you have to allow yourself to be okay with not being okay every day. You know, it's, you have to take a step back and look at the process versus, you know, the product. And, that's kind of the way I've evaluated it is, this is a process that I'm going through and yeah, the product's going to take care of itself if I handle the process.
Right.
Yeah.
And I watch, you know, when we're at practice or shoot arounds or what have you, and the guys are out there, you're kind of the forgotten guy. You're on the side. You're, you know, Ryan has you doing stairs or, you know, hopping up and down. I don't know what all the things
all the
that you have
things.
To do,
those
things that go. And so I look and I watch and I do. I feel good about the fact that you're putting in the work and that there's a future down the road for you wearing a uniform on that floor. Yeah. But I also think – I sometimes think to myself, people don't understand what you know, while your teammates are out there practicing and Ben Johnson and Dave Thorson and Marcus Jenkins and all these guys, Jason Kemp, are giving the scouting report for Indiana, you're over here hopping on one leg on the side and Ryan's putting you through different things and Isaiah's going through the same thing. You see him and the other day he's walking up and down the steps. I'm sure that was part of whatever assignment he had for
it.
So, man, it's so, you know, I don't know why I bring it up, just to let people know.
No, you're right.
You know,
you're right.
I mean, me
and Robbie Hummel talked about it last night as well. It's like, you know, you're still a part of the team, but there's a divide. Like there's no question that there's a little divide. You know, you're not between the lines. And like I said, the only way to gel and to get better as a team is to be between the lines together. You know, me and Isaiah are fortunately between the lines together in the training room. And now we added a couple, last game, but, no, it's just, you know, it's a funny dynamic because, as a teammate, you want to help and you want to be around the team and you enjoy the camaraderie. Like, that's why you play team sports. You enjoy that kind of camaraderie between coaches and players or players and players. And, you know, we spend so much dang time around each other that, you know, you better like the guy. And credit to Coach Johnson with the way he recruits and he gets the right guys in our, you know, in our locker room. But, you know, you want to be around them. You want to, you know, interact with them. But at the same time, you got to take care of your business. So it's an interesting dynamic and it's kind of, there's no, you know, game plan for how to go about it. But I think just communication and, you know, you just kind of bring that attitude every day because you can choose that, you know, and I think that's kind of how I've been able to not cope, but, you know, kind of work my way through because, you know, if I had that down Debbie Downer attitude and, was just minding my own business and said, screw these other guys, you know, it's whatever. Not only would that impact how I was as a member of the team, but it would impact the way that I go about my, you know, my process and my, you know, my physical, you know, getting back. And, so yeah, I just try to wake up every morning and choose my attitude and choose it as a positive one and come in and put a smile on people's faces. And, you know, it makes it even tougher too, when you're, you know, losing a couple games and, you know, it's just weird because it's like, you know, you want to help and you want you want to be a part of this team and you want to give whatever you can give. And obviously you can't give it physically out there on the court. So I just try to give it emotionally and, you know, kind of spiritually and mentally with the guys. And I hope they appreciate it because it's you know, it's the way I can help right now. So I just try to do my best, try to do my part.
You mentioned Robbie Hummel, that you talked with him last night. He did the game on TV last night. So after the game, you guys sat down. We mentioned in the start of this podcast that you also have a podcast called Double Down, and it was kind of spawned out of what you have gone through. And take me through how you decided to do it and kind of the concept of your Double Down podcast.
Yeah, so I'm definitely a talker. If you've seen me, you know that I can't walk by a person without saying hello to that person. I actually said that to Josh Adell the other day, one of our video guys. You know, he helps out with like all of our scouting and all that stuff, and he's unbelievable. But it's just kind of who I am. You know, I love to talk. I love to meet new people. So this was an opportunity for that. And I kind of wanted to spread the message, you know, spread the – I don't think there's enough talk about the mental health and the – you know, things that we deal with as injured players. And like I talk about that divide between the team, but there's also a divide in your own life as well, because you know what you are as an athlete. And when you're on that surgery table after surgery, you're not even close to what you were like, and it's the snap of a finger. So the idea sprung after the second surgery. I kind of just wanted to get it out, get the message out there about, you know, what's going on with injuries and that kind of stuff. And Double Down kind of just popped into my head one day with two knee surgeries. It kind of just was something that popped in my head. And so I ran with that and got it set up and got all the podcasting equipment and all that kind of deal. And now I just hop on podcasts with, you know, former or current, you know, college and professional athletes that have, you know, been through some sort of adversity or some sort of injury, and kind of talk about how they got through that, because everybody's journey is different and everybody's story is different. And it's what makes us unique, you know, athletes, but also humans. And I think that's kind of the aspect I like to look at more, is that human aspect, and then talk about, you know, what you went through and how'd you get through it and how did it form you into a, you know, a different athlete, but also a different person. Because I think anybody that goes through a, you know, a 9-month recovery process, they're probably going to be changed a little bit, you know, as a person as well as an athlete. So, you know, it's just getting the message out there and talking about that process has been exciting for me and helpful for me. You know, you learn.
I was wondering if there's a therapeutic part to it mentally.
Yeah, no
just
doubt.
Getting thoughts from others and what they've gone through.
And talking out your feelings too, and talking out like what's going on. And it's crazy because I've had 15 episodes, and every episode I've been able to resonate with something. You know, there's something that I did the same as that person did, or something that they did. And I'm like, hold on, maybe I want to kind of add that. And, you know, a lot of people even talk on the podcast, like the physicals, whatever, like I was built to do the physical. Like I made myself strong enough to do the physical, but the mental is something that I never have gone through. Like I had it pretty good. Like growing up, like I had it pretty good. I was never like little injuries here and there, but like my life was pretty good, right? I've never had that crazy adversity. And you know, these are kind of like the biggest steps of adversity that I had, and learning tips and tricks from other people, and, you know, learning that at the end of the day, like it's so much bigger than the sport itself.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously we love to compete and we love to go out there and play, but it's a game at the end of the day. And, you know, kind of compartmentalizing that, you know, in your brain mentally is a tough process, but once you're able to do it, it kind of, you know, it kind of flips the script on how you approach everyday rehab and your life in general.
Yeah. Robbie, so that will be this week's podcast.
Yeah, that'll be this week.
And that will come out Friday.
It'll come out Friday.
So
we'll
people
hopefully
should,
have it out Friday.
Should look. Robbie, you know, he has some ties to Minnesota. He played for the Wolves for a bit. I think he has family here, and they've got a cabin that he used to come here when he was a kid. I don't know if you guys ever hit on that part of it, but I remember that being part of the story. We've interviewed Robbie a couple times when he's been around, because he tore the ACL the first time here.
Yeah, and he tore it at Minnesota.
I remember it. It was down on the home end of the home end of the floor, and you could tell. You know, sometimes you just know. Yeah. And my heart sunk, because I know what injuries mean.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird too, because I think part of what's cool about your podcast is that you do have you investigate and talk about what people are going through. And look, you can't blame the fans, but the second an injury goes, you feel sorry for a guy a second, but then the next question is, when do you think he'll be back?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Are we going to lose him forever? Or when can he play? And that's reasonable for a
fan.
For
sure.
But it also doesn't take into any consideration what's ahead for the poor guy that just had the injury. So my heart sunk the second. I remember it was probably one of the sadder moments that we had on a broadcast. And, you know, and you could even argue that on the flip side, well, that's going to help Minnesota win. Well, nobody cared. No one in the place cared about that because you could see that it was an issue. And then we were the following fall out at Purdue for the football game.
Yep.
And word started to trickle through the press box that Robbie had done it a second time at a workout, a fall workout. And I'm like, geez, man, your heart sinks. So what'd you find out from Robbie? Because, one, he's great on TV.
Yeah.
And are you going to try to get into that?
Maybe.
You have the gift of gab for sure. And you also have the knowledge with which to impart. But so he's kind of a guy that you could role model after, certainly with what he's done. He's awesome with all he has podcasts and he does, I think, some of these videos, and he's on BTN and ESPN and whatever else. But what'd you find from him? Tease us a little with what we'll find in this podcast this week.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie was a guy that when the podcast idea kind of popped in my head, and I have a historic college basketball background, and I've been watching college basketball forever. So Robbie was a guy that and growing a Timberwolves fan, I obviously knew Robbie, I knew his story, I knew what he went through. So he was a guy that I wanted on the podcast for sure. I just didn't know if it would be plausible or be even something that we could do. And fortunately, I just I reached out to him, and he was excited to hop on. And he's great, man. You talk about the ironic, with tearing it at Minnesota, and then Minnesota is at Purdue playing football. They actually lost that game 28-17 at Purdue, and that it's that Minnesota connection. And then he gets drafted the 58th pick in the draft by the Timberwolves. So yeah, he's got these just Minnesota ties, and we were kind of poking fun at this place has been good to him, but it's also been brutal to him, and that kind of story. But Robbie's attitude through his kind of surgeries and his process were a lot similar to mine, and we really were able to resonate with each other well, and we had some really cool banter about different things that we experienced that were similar. And his was back to back too. He did the same knee twice, but his was, I think, 8 months after. Mine was about 12 months after. So kind of same deal where you're getting back and you're kind of slowly easing yourself in, and it happens again. And same kind of deal where mine happened a second time in a practice or in a workout or whatever. So summer workout, fall workout, whatever that may be. And we just talked about knowing what you can do, like knowing how hard you've worked and the work you put in, and knowing what level that you can get to. And obviously it sucks, getting deteriorated from your goals. But, Robbie talked about how, he had an awesome freshman and sophomore year, and you're so close to making the NBA, and, something comes up and it's like, I can't let a little knee deteriorate my dreams. Like Robbie talked about, and you guys will hear it if you listen, but he talked about how there's been one other person from where he was from, his hometown in Indiana, that has made the NBA. And he's like, I'm so close to where I want to go. I can't let a little knee deteriorate that kind of journey. And I resonate with that as well. There's been one person from my whole time who's made the NBA, Nuni Omot, who has played a couple minutes with Brooklyn, and I think he's with the New York Knicks organization. So same kind of deal where it's like, I've seen it happen. Like, the kid from Matamita is not supposed to go to the NBA, but like, it's right there. Like, I had did my thing at the Division II level, became an All-American. Every school in the country wanted me. All I needed to do was have that one good year, and I had that opportunity to achieve a dream that is frankly like unreasonable. Like you're growing up and your third grade teacher asked you to write down what you want to be growing up. Like I wrote down NBA player because like that's what I wanted to be. Yeah. And obviously you probably wrote down a couple other things, and Robbie shared the same story. He joked about how he wrote down being a weatherman, but at the end of the day, like you're in your back of your brain, you're like, I want to be an NBA player. Like that's what I want to do. And you're so close to where you want to get. And if that doesn't fuel you through, then I don't think sports are kind of meant for you. So
How can people find the podcast?
Yeah, so it's available on all platforms, all streaming platforms. We got YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find it. And it's Double Down Podcast. You'll see a black screen with a little white writing and Double Down. And go and check it out. We're on episode 15. We just started out season 2. And I'm looking forward to a pretty interesting group of people.
Who have you had on so far? that people could go back
and... Yeah, Gopher athletes. I've had Taylor Landfair of the volleyball team, Chris Ottman-Bell of the football team, Katie Bravich, and Nicole of the women's basketball team. So had a good handful of... and then Isaiah Ening and Eric Curry were on there as well. So a good handful of Gopher athletes, but now I'm kind of starting to expand out. Had a couple Badgers, unfortunately, on the podcast. But no, just reaching out to people who, you know, I've known, I've connected through, and it's really exciting because everybody likes to share their story, and it's unique, and I think it's an interesting listen. So yeah, you guys definitely go get at that. Double down.
Cool. Yep. Well, as I was just teasing fans for wanting to know when's the guy going to be back, I have to ask you, right, how everything's going. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but what does your future look like, and what are your hopes and goals now as you're getting, what are you through 7 months roughly now with the second time?
Yep, just got done with 7 month testing actually yesterday. So it's funny because like you mentioned earlier, I'm getting old. I'll be 24 here in February. So people are like, hey, you know, you're going to come back? And you know, it's a valid question. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to come back. Like, I need to play a game here. Like, I've never played a game at Williams Arena. Like, I never made state. I never got to play a game at Williams Arena. I got to obviously practice on it, but, you know, it's funny because I had, you know, one of my mentors call me the other day and just kind of communicate and just talking through like where we're at and what we want to do and, you know, what's my next step. And, you know, I want to be a professional basketball player. So what's the best steps into taking that? And, you know, he asked me like, are you set on coming back? And I'm like, it's been my dream since I could remember to play a basketball game at Williams Arena. Like, there's nothing that's going to stop me from that dream. And might happen, you know, I wanted it to happen 2 years ago, but it got deteriorated for 2 years. But deterioration isn't going to stop me from, you know, reaching and accomplishing that dream. So yeah, I'm definitely going to be back next year, healthy and ready to go, and kind of just show people that, you know, who I am, because people don't necessarily know, but also, you know, what I've been through and how knees aren't going to keep me out of, you know, chasing that dream. So I'm going to actually hopefully start my PhD here at the U next year. I just completed my master's in sport management. So getting a little bit of free education, get a little extra education. But hopefully get my PhD started out in kinesiology as a sport management focus. Continue to learn as a human being, but also I'm learning as a basketball player, and I'm just excited. You know, I'm at home, and this is where I find peace, and, you know, I've kind of found peace in that, you know, that aspect of, you know, this is where I'm meant to be. And, you know, I'm a big fan of JJ Redick, and Victor Oladipo was on his podcast talking about, you know, injuries and the stuff that he's been through. And, you know, everybody comes up to me and it's like, oh, so unfortunate what you went through and da, 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 da. But I've kind of flipped that script now, and I'm fortunate for what I've been through, and it's shaped me into who I am as a person and who I am as a player. And I'm excited to explore that and see what the possibilities may have.
Yeah, so impressive. And I can't wait to call the first dunk and then the second dunk and
let's go.
The 10th dunk and the 100th
next
dunk.
Block and all that. Come on, man.
Yeah, block and no the doubt. Three and, no and steal and all that stuff. Right. And I think some of why people might ask you is because with all the rules, nobody, like, I wasn't even sure before we started the podcast. I mean, I think you have a year left, but I wasn't sure. So you have, and then you told me not just do you have a year left, but
two.
You have two. You could be an eighth year player if you really wanted to take like the Rodney Dangerfield back to school approach, right?
It's funny because now we got a kid who reclassified. He's supposed to be a senior in high school, Caden Betts, and we were talking about, if anybody knows, like Snapchat, like a private story versus a real story. Like, he's like, oh, did you put on your private story in high school? I was like, we didn't have that back in high school. Like, little jokes like that, you know? So it's like, yeah, I'm getting old, but like, I don't know, keeping me around these kids, maybe it's keeping me young. And now that's old to say.
For sure, too. But that's, I feel, you know, energized when I'm, in fact, Don Fisher, the Indiana play-by-play guy, 50 years, right? Yep. So I talked to him, and we've gotten to be good friends. He's a good mentor. And, and I say mentor, I mean, I'm in my 50s now too, but he talked about how being around he's 76.
Wow.
And, you know, he's like, it's fun to watch kids come in as freshmen and see where they head. And he goes, some kids are immature and sometimes it doesn't even work out.
Yeah.
But you hope for the best. And he goes, other times they come in as a 18-year-old and they act like a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, and have varying backgrounds. And he said it energizes him, and I feel the same way. And it's kind of funny with you in terms of you know, the experience now you've had where you'll have a seventh year next year. who knows if you have an eighth year. But you're right. You got a kid who's on the roster who's supposed to be a senior in high school. Yeah. So you'd be technically, you could be a 24-year-old competing against a 17-year-old,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, it's a crazy dynamic. Yeah. It's a crazy dynamic. But I mean, I don't know. It's just, I think I'm meant to be where I'm at right now. You know, it's funny because all my friends are off getting married and getting jobs and I'm going to weddings and I'm still a college basketball player.
Yeah.
And here I am. I'm showing up. But I think at the end of the day, you know, I'm meant to be where I'm meant to be. And I found peace in that. And
No question.
Yeah.
Plus, here's what you're going to find when you get to my age. If you hadn't done it, you'd be like, God, I'd love to go back and have another 2 or 3 years of school. I've even, you know, through my own kids and relatives or whatever, I'm like, if you have a great opportunity, take it. Yeah. But there's no need to rush into real life 100%. Yet. You'll have your rest of your life for real life.
Yeah, no.
So play college hoops.
Exactly.
If you can,
No, and you're 100% right. It's like these, you know, they're you know, arguing about, oh, I got to get up at this time. I got to do that. And I'm like, dude, I got one class. I'm finishing up my master's. Like, I'm just working
playing,
my tail off.
Playing hoops.
I'm around my friends. I get to hang out and I get to play a game, you know. And that's the funny thing is it's like, basketball's a game, you know. And we obviously take it seriously and we love it. And we spend, you know, basketball's my life. Like, I wouldn't, you know, be in this position. I don't know who I would be without basketball. So it's obviously unique in that way. But at the end of the day, it's a game and it's a glorified, you know, high level business game. And we get to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's exciting. And I think, like I said, it's just I'm at where I'm at. And I think it's where I'm meant to be. So.
Yeah. And on top of it, you mentioned your brother earlier. He's playing college basketball now at Wisconsin Stout and having, it sounds like, a good year. Now, he is fighting a little bit of an injury, it sounds like you were telling me. But what's his name? And tell me about him a little.
Yeah, so my little brother, Brody, you know, our whole lives we've been competitors, you know, whether it's whatever sport. You know, we played them all growing up, and we're just like competitors. And it probably, most of the times, it didn't end great. Ended in some blood and some punching and kicking. But that's my dude, so, you know, I've been living a little vicariously through him this year, and he's been having a great year. I think he's averaging like 26 or 27 points at Wisconsin Stout, and you know, the points are great, but what he's getting done and how he's going about his work is what I'm more impressed with. You know, I think at the end of the day, if you go about it the right way and if you put the work in, the results are going to show. And he was a kid too, where, you know, he was a little vertically challenged height wise, you know, growing up, and he was a late bloomer, and you know, things started to go his way. And that's not by luck.
Did he have a late growth spurt?
Yeah, he was a late growth spurt. So he's like 6'5", 6'6" now, but his junior year of high school, he was probably scratching 5'10", 5'11". Yeah. So, you know, you talk about, you know, obviously things need to go your way. You know, we talk about that with Robbie on the podcast, having tall parents helps, and you know you're going to grow eventually, but it's the work that you put in that creates that luck. You know, we talk about creating your own luck, and he's a kid that has kind of done that, and he's found what he's passionate about. He's found that confidence. So I think you root for guys like that, you know.
Have you been able to go watch? I mean, Menominee's not that far.
Yeah, it's only about 45, 50 minutes if you're cruising. So, you know, our schedule is tough. It's tough to, you know, get any free time. But, I've been able to go. I think I went to one, but try to watch most of them online. That's high-level basketball. That Wyatt Conference is a good conference. Our Coach Kemp played in that conference back in the day. And it's high level basketball, and I think regardless of what division you're at, Bruce Pearl was actually talking about this the other day, of the opportunity to play college basketball is a blessing. To be a part of a team and play the game that you love and have fun doing it, it is a blessing. So it's great basketball, and I love watching him, and I love watching the team in general. So,
and Pharrell's brother's in that league at River Falls, and he's like scoring 18
and he's averaging a double-double. He's doing his thing as well, and they faced off against each other this year already. I think Pharrell's brother's team won that one, but I think they get a rematch here in early February. So I'm hoping we have an off day and we could maybe bring a couple of the guys down to that one at River Falls. That would be fun, you know.
And that's only, 30 minutes?
Exactly. Right? And, you know, and the guys, my brother's been around our apartment and, you know, campus, so all the guys know him and he's their age and, you know, that kind of stuff. So we'll sit down, and he actually had a 70-point game this year. And me, J-Mo, Isaiah, Talon, and I think Trayton was in there too. We're in my living room. We were watching him. And
hold it a second. He he scored 70.
70, yeah.
Your
yeah.
brother scored
yeah,
70
had,
in a game?
Yeah, he had 70.
How did I not hear about this?
I don't know. It was kind of public news, Graham. Were you hiding underneath the rock?
Or probably. I mean, if it's not on Twitter, I don't know it existed. And so, but not enough tweets about it, I guess.
Yeah, so yeah, he had a 70-point game on the road. He had a layup. They were up like 15, and he had a layup with at the buzzer. And he knew he was at 60 coming out of like the last media timeout.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and his buddy was like, "Hey, you're at 60. You gotta get 70. Like, you gotta da da da." And they were already gonna win at that point. So he had a couple like fast break layups to end it, and he laid one in at the buzzer for 70. And me and you know our guys, J-Mo, Talon, Zay, Trey, we just start going crazy in my apartment. We're just loving it up. We're taking videos and sending it to him and stuff. And yeah, so it's been fun to watch him, and the guys will, like I said, the guys will watch with me.
Cause it's
good basketball.
Yeah, so maybe you're right. Maybe we can get the group and over to
that River would be
Falls
fun.
And
I'm
watch,
hoping
for Earl's brother and your brother, and first one to 70 wins. Gosh, I don't know how I missed that, but that's pretty cool to have that.
That brought up the average for sure.
Yeah, that helps for sure. Was it a lot of threes, or how did he?
It was. I think he had like 16 dunks in that game, or something crazy like that. Yeah,
that right?
I don't think he was maybe 0-1 for 3. So yeah, just getting to the rack
and up and down, fast paced
game, wow. Pressing and that kind of deal. And you know, regardless, 70 is impressive no matter what happens.
Very impressive.
I got to give him his flowers for that one.
Yeah, for sure. So did you give him a call after or a text after that game?
Yeah, I was like, no way you just did that. Just kind of poking fun at it. But then he was actually home a couple days after, so we kind of got to talk about it in person, which was even better.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, and to tease you about your age even more, so he's your younger brother.
Yep.
Pharrell's brother is his older brother, and they're playing against each other.
Exactly. So Brody's older than Pharrell's older brother.
Yeah.
And it's
pretty good.
I'm getting old.
And Roderick, right?
Roderick Payne. He's at River Falls. Yeah.
At River Falls. So anyway, well, hey, I said we'd keep you for like a half hour. We're almost going on an hour here, but you've been awesome. We appreciate it. So much good insight, man. So impressive, too. And I watch you work away from the court to get back, and I can't wait next year to see that first game with you in the starting lineup and going and getting a dunk and having an impact.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a special day. You know, I even sometimes when I walk up those stairs with the sweatsuit on, I think about how special that day is gonna be. So that's what I'm working towards, man. And I'm you know, at the end of the day, I'm doing it because I love this place and I love everybody that's a part of it. And you know, my journey's been different, but you know, I wouldn't change a step of the journey because it's kind of made me who I am, and I'm excited for people to see that next year.
Yeah, you've got a great attitude, man. Always, always happy go lucky, a smile on your face. Double Down is the podcast.
Yes.
Hummel this week.
Yes,
and go back and listen to some previous shows as well.
Awesome. Yes, everybody, go do that. You can catch it on all streaming platforms. Yeah. Double Down podcast.
Cool. Thank you, sir.
Awesome. Thank you, Mike.
There he is, Parker Fox. It's episode 55.
My thanks once again to basketball player Parker Fox for spending time with us on the Go Gopher podcast episode number 55. As you can hear, Parker is such an impressive dude. The Go Gopher podcast is presented by Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're buying or selling a business, visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com. We're also proud to be supported by Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, your local credit union throughout the state of Minnesota. Go to affinityplus.org/gogopher. Gophers. Affinity Plus sponsors our player profile each week, supporting Gopher student athletes, including today's visit with Parker Fox. We're also sponsored by State Farm agent Tony Hoagland. Again, I'd invite you to listen to past podcasts, and please be sure to subscribe to the Go Gopher podcast right now. It's free to subscribe and free to listen at any time, and please share the link on your social media channels so others can listen as well. We'll talk again next week.